Today marks the start of another monthly sermon series. Passionate about prayer. I don't know, you may have subtly got that message at the front of church, I don't know. The idea is that once a month we'll explore a different aspect of prayer. And this is rooted in the prayer course that many of us did through Lent. And this month we're going to be thinking about asking, or asking, depending on which part of the country you're from. When Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he taught them to ask for their needs, their daily bread, to ask for forgiveness, for guidance. Lead us not into temptation. Give us our daily bread. But I wonder how good you are at asking. At asking for help. Hands up. Who naturally is good at asking for help? Well, that's brilliant. None of you. Well, we're in good company. If I'm in a giant supermarket, if you know one of those like 24-hour Asdas, which are like the size of 5 football fields, I will wander around for 20 minutes trying to find something on my own, rather than ask for help. Maybe half an hour. There's something in me that doesn't want to hassle the shop assistants. I know, philosophically, I know that's what they're there for, but I don't want to bother them. More deeply and more profoundly, there's something in me that doesn't want to be vulnerable, doesn't want to need someone else's help. I will foolishly walk around the supermarket for a half an hour. Ellie, she's the opposite end of the spectrum. She doesn't even look. She's just straight up to the person in uniform. And do you know what I do? I don't know if some of you do this. I pretend I don't know. And then when she's got the important information, I'm back there, right where we're going. Different approaches to asking. And how good are you at asking God for things? Maybe you think, well, he's God, he knows what I need. I don't need to hassle him. You know, philosophically, he's got the uniform on, the badge, can I help you? But you don't want to hassle. But Jesus taught us to ask. Even though Jesus knows our needs, he still wants us to communicate them to him. I wonder if you remember the story of blind Bartimaeus. He fights through the crowd, gets to Jesus, and Jesus says, "What can I do for you?" And maybe if you read that story, you're like, it's kind of obvious, he's blind Bartimaeus, but nonetheless Jesus says, "What can I do for you?" Bartimaeus asks, he says, "I want you to heal me, I want to see." And Jesus responds. But he doesn't want to impose on Bartimaeus. I was at theological college and we had a speaker come in who'd been blind from birth. And he was talking about how we approach healing and how we approach disability. And he was sharing with us how when he gets to heaven, he doesn't want to see. For him, all he's ever known is not to see, and his senses are heightened. And what was really funny is one of our fellow students was someone whose eyesight had degenerated until he couldn't see. And they had this massive ding-dong debate about, I want to see in heaven, I don't. And we're all sat there kind of going, because they were both in that circumstance. They could speak freely in a way that we can engage with. And so in a guessing sense, maybe that's why Jesus said to Bartimaeus, how can I help you? What do you want me to do for you? Because if this lecturer had been there, he'd have said, actually, for me, I don't want to see. You know, my disability is who I am, and that's a different tangent. So ask him. Imagine if as your parents, as you were growing up, they gave you everything before you needed it. Your mouth was just about to open and they go, da-da! Or you'd be thinking, I really must talk to Mum about how I need a new pee bag. And even before you were able to communicate that need, it was just there on the peg. Just they were always a step ahead of you. Wouldn't that be really weird? Wouldn't that be weird for your relationship as a child to a parent, that kind of you couldn't express a need, you couldn't come to them over a need, because they knew and they were ahead of you? There's a significance in asking, isn't there? Asking is just as much about relationship as it is about transaction. And that's why Jesus encourages us to ask. Yes, God knows, but in the asking, there's something significant. And the Bible is really clear. Asking God for things isn't frowned upon. It's expected and encouraged. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus says, ask anything in my name and it will be given to you. And so we've heard in our first reading, our Heavenly Father loves to give good gifts to those who ask him. Let me just repeat that to you. It's not his job. He doesn't do it begrudgingly. He loves to give good gifts to those who ask him. Isn't that amazing? The creator of the universe is a kind, generous, patient dad. He wants us to ask. And the really moving thing is, he delights in us asking. And he delights in answering those prayers. He enjoys it. I'm wandering around the supermarket for 3 hours trying to find the whole grain mustard because I don't want to put anyone out. I'm too proud and independent to ask. And the danger is that we can bring that same attitude to God. I don't want to hassle him. And probably, again, more deeply and honestly, I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to be needy. Challengingly, I'm proud. I want to fend for myself. But Jesus says, don't worry about hassling God. Don't worry about bothering God with your requests and your dilemmas and questions. Don't be independent and arrogant. Ask. He loves it. Now I can hear an obvious question churning in some of your minds. What about the loophole question? Come on, Steve. We can't ask for anything and everything. God's not going to give me an island in the Maldives with a super yacht to visit it. And you're right, aren't you? But, and it's a big but, too often we let that thinking spoil our approach to asking. So we take the, we can't abuse it. But then we take that to, I'm not going to ask. Is God going to say yes to the get rich quick prayer? No, sorry. But can we expect God to give us luxuries? Treats? Things beyond our basic needs? What do you reckon? Yes. Yes, he sometimes will. Again, let's think about it in terms of human relationships. How does it work for us as parents? Do we sometimes treat, bless our kids? Yes. Not all the time. We want the best for our children. We say no, otherwise we create monsters. But there's a balance. We do give them a treat every now and then. We do sometimes say yes to things that are beyond their basic needs, to show our love to them, to encourage them. What did our Bible reading say? Our Heavenly Father delights in giving good gifts. Not our Heavenly Father gives us just the bare minimum to tick the box of existence. Our Heavenly Father delights in giving us good gifts. So I hope I persuaded you that Jesus says it's good, it's right, it's expected, it's encouraged that you should ask your Heavenly Father for things, for guidance. And maybe, well, actually, it seems like all of you are in the same boat as me. But maybe you need to be encouraged to overcome that instinctive reluctance that sort of prayer is something that should be held back for special occasions or emergencies or real needs. That asking is something that you do almost as a last resort, tragically, we can sometimes feel like. So let's get practical. How do we ask? Well, Pete Greig of the 24/7 prayer movement has some really practical tips. I wonder if any of you who did the prayer course can remember. Keep it simple. Keep it real. Keep it up. Keep it simple. Keep it real. Keep it up. So let's explore those. Keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate things. Just ask. You don't have to make a big eloquent prayer. When you're engaging with your parents as a child, you didn't think, I really need to write a good one here to present to my parents their need. You just ask. It's the same in prayer. Just ask in your heart, in your mind. Keep it real. What's that mean? Well, be honest. We've touched upon that. Lord, give me an island in the Maldives and a super yacht. Okay. Realistically, none of us are going to try that one. But be honest that our motives are never going to be completely pure. But that's okay. God can read us like a book. The Holy Spirit lives in here. So we can be relaxed. If there's something you're asking him for, and your motives aren't entirely selfless, that's fine. He knows. If it's more of a special end of sort of the blessing kind of thing, if there are mixed motives, if you're asking him for help with dealing with someone where they get under your skin and they're difficult, and you're not entirely pure in here, that's okay. God welcomes your honesty and your transparency, because he knows. So keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. When Jesus tells us to ask in Matthew 7, it's not asking as in, ask once, job done, move on. It's ask as in, keep asking. Keep asking. My girls, Ellie included, which has made it even more difficult for me, have been asking for a while for us to get guinea pigs for Abigail's birthday present. If we've asked Abigail, what would you like for your birthday? She's gone, oh, Dad, there's nothing I want apart from guinea pigs. It's all she's wanted for ages. There's no other kind of alternative. Mum was straight on board. Dad was a little bit more reluctant. They had to ask a few times before I said yes. I had to think it through. I had to hear their answers to my reservations. I remember getting guinea pigs as a child and within about 4 weeks losing complete interest in my parents cleaning them out for the next 5 years. Those were some of my thoughts. But in the asking, in the conversation, we connect. Abby and the girls connected with me in that conversation, in that asking. Our relationship deepens as we share. Jesus told a number of parables about persevering in prayer, keeping going in faith that God will answer according to his will and timing. Now, I'm not saying that God has to go, oh, I'm not sure about this one, I need to think about it. But in the conversation, in the connection, in the asking, there's a significance, as I said before, it's about relationship as well as transaction. Pete Greig suggests that you think of this helpful image of prayer as stacking dominoes. That each prayer is sort of stacking a domino. And sometimes it feels like we have to stack an awful lot of dominoes. But there comes that moment where the first one's tripped and that answered prayer comes through. You may have been praying for a family member or a friend to become a Christian. You've just been stacking your dominoes, praying, 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 doing what Jesus has encouraged you to do, to just pray unceasingly. Or praying for someone for healing, and it's sort of stacking and stacking and stacking. Jesus encourages us, ask, keep praying, because that answer will come. So keep it simple, keep it real, keep asking. And on the subject of keeping it real, let's grasp a nettle. Let's talk about the reality that sometimes God says no, or seemingly seems to say no. You can be stacking your dominoes, and it can be just persevering in prayer. But there are times sometimes when we're praying for healing, where someone dies, and that very clearly is a no to a prayer that we've been praying for. That's painful, isn't it? That's hard. That's difficult to marry up. God wants to give us good things, and sometimes we're praying for what we feel, you know, if you could only answer one prayer, forget everything else, Jesus, please say yes to this. Well, again, Pete Grieg, I think, offers us a helpful image, and it's the image of traffic lights. That as we pray, sometimes the prayer is agreed. It's just kind of, yes, answer, wonderful. Other times, it's an amber. It's that keep stacking your dominoes, it's keep praying. But the answer takes time to come. And sometimes the answer is a red. It's not what we desired. It's not what we prayed for. In those moments, the one thing we need to remember before all else is that God doesn't love us any less. It isn't just about transaction. It's about relationship. Because there's a red light. Doesn't mean that you are any less valued in God's sight. And what we must really know is that all the more he is a good God. That he draws alongside us. That he comforts us. That he strengthens us. So let me finish with a few more little practical tips from Pete Grieg. So we had the three tips. Keep it simple. Keep it real, keep it up. And now he gives us three more. Pray with others. Pray in bite-sized chunks. And pray specifically. So pray with others. Hopefully that's self-explanatory. It's good to pray with others, isn't it? On a practical level, if I set aside some time to pray, if I put myself in a solitary room, the nature of who I am is 5 minutes of prayer and my mind is onto challenges and things that I'm trying to work through. My mind's onto other things. If I'm praying with someone else, it's so much easier to keep praying. Sometimes when you're praying alone, it kind of feels like, hello! It can feel like, is my prayer getting through? Am I really connecting with God? But somehow being in the company of another affirms to you your prayer is being heard. You have that sense of companionship in prayer, which encourages you into the true reality that you're in the companionship of God. So that's pray with others. It's really practical, really simple, but it's really helpful. Pray in bite-sized chunks. The really encouraging thing is, Jesus said, all we need is the faith the size of a mustard seed. Itsy bitsy. We don't have to pray it all at once. So maybe praying in bite-sized chunks looks like this. If you're praying for healing for a friend to become a Christian, maybe part of that prayer journey is to pray for a good doctor's appointment, to pray for that particular treatment to go well, or to pray for an opportunity to talk easily about your faith with them, an opportunity to share what you've been learning spiritually. It's not the full deal, but it's a step, it's a bite-sized chunk. It's a step, it's a bite-sized chunk in that big picture of, Jesus, I'm asking this of you. So maybe sometimes when there's things that you want to ask God about, you just think, that feels so huge. Well, pray where you are. Pray that bite-sized chunk, knowing that it's part of that big picture, and that God knows your heart, and so he knows that it's part of a bigger prayer, which maybe you struggle with or it intimidates you. So pray with others, pray in bite-sized chunks, and finally, pray specifically. It can be tempting to get vague, can't it? There's a significance in asking specifically. When Jesus saw blind Bartimaeus coming through the crowd, he said, how can I help you? What would you ask of me? It's good to pray specifically. If you're praying for your children are unique, aren't they? My Abigail, from my Lydia, from my Naomi, they are totally different characters. If I just lump them together into prayer, that's nowhere near touching upon their uniqueness and their unique needs and the way they need to connect with God, and how blessing one child might be. Lord, give them the place to shine. They love being centered the attention. Lord, can you meet them in that? If you pray that for your other child who likes to just hide in the background, they die. Pray specifically. So what would I like you to do? How would I like you to respond this week? How would I like this sermon to flow out into your lives? I'd love you to go from this place and to ask Jesus lots. Really simply. Every time you hit question marks or uncertainties in your life, just ask. To think about what would be a blessing for you, for your family, for your friends, for our community, and to ask. Why? Because I want you to get loads of stuff out of God. No. Because God loves it when you ask him. Ask because God loves to hear your prayers.